Hey, John.
Hey, Nicholas.
Today, we're tackling some tough issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to quickly, at the front, give a heads up. If you didn't read the title, we're going to be talking about the Japanese suicide forest. And it's super heavy, but it's super important. So we're going to talk about it, but we wanted to let you know, just in case that might be something you want to skip.
Yeah, and if you want to laugh, listen to a different one.
Yeah, listen to last week's. There's mm-hmm. some good goofs in there.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt there will be any goofs this week. And if there is, it's just nervous laughter.
And this is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still, a podcast where we answer the strange questions you never thought to ask.
I'm Nick Wood. I was holding my breath because I was shuffling my papers and I breathed in as soon as you started going.
I know. But I'm proud of you. You're getting better. You could probably like touch the bottom of the pool now. This week, we're going to talk about something very serious. We already did that though.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Japanese suicide forest. We were talking about that. But first off, I want to give the number to the suicide hotline. If you feel like you need it, it is 1-800-273-8255 in the U.S. And I think that's where our primary listener base is. So if you're in a different country, Google it.
Google it. If you have something other than Google,
Bing it.
Google.uk it. You know?
Yeah. And we already said this, but it's already happened a couple times where we probably won't make any goofs because that's kind of insensitive, but there probably will be
nervous laughter. Nah, there's ways to, like, that Google joke was a joke, I guess, right?
It was a joke. And this is going to be a total downer, but, I mean, it's got to be talked about at some point, right? We can't just not talk about it. Because it's in the news cycle right now, thanks to friggin' Logan Paul, which makes me upset, but, I mean, it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. there's a problem with suicide in Japan. We wanted to get someone who could speak on that as well, but we had such short notice that maybe if we do find somebody, we could add a tidbit into another episode or something in the beginning.
I was thinking that same exact thing. The other thing too is no one's qualified to talk about suicide.
Yeah.
So even if we did bring someone on from Japan that can talk about suicide in Japan or the Sea of Trees, as this is colloquially known as, no one's qualified to talk about this. So we're going to do the best we can.
Yeah.
We're not qualified, but it's still, it's just too important to not talk about, because it's a problem in all across the world. It's the, what was it? I have this later on in my notes, but it's the, I mean, it, for people between the ages of 15 and 29, it's the second leading cause of death globally.
Yeah.
That's frightening. And if we just sit back and not talk about it, then that's part of the problem. And part of the problem is that there's such this stigma around it that people don't want to talk about it because death is scary to people.
Mm-hmm.
And people going through stuff is uncomfortable for some people. They just don't want to, they just want to turn a blind eye to it and not worry about it and hope it goes away.
Or sometimes they don't know how to help.
Yeah. So we're not going to help you so much on the how to deal with it. But we are going to talk about it just to give you some insight into specifically the suicide forest and kind of the culture around it in Japan, because it's a lot different than it is here. I'll just say that much and we'll get into it. Did you know about the suicide forest before the whole Logan Paul debacle?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you heard about it?
I've known about it for years, but I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago. I don't even remember how I found out. I just kind of like, I just remember, I think Stuff You Should Know did an episode on it at
probably
some point.
Yeah.
And I also know that there was a movie about it.
Oh yeah, there's tons of movies and books and even games about it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of everywhere. I remember I took 3 years of Japanese in high school and our Japanese teacher told us about it. It's kind of a weird thing to tell your students about, but it's part of their culture over there. It's huge. It's it's infamous. And he was a super cool guy. So it also sucks that this is in the news cycle because of the stupid Logan Paul thing, because that's the wrong way to be talking about suicide. And I even hate that I've said his name three times in this episode now.
Yeah.
But at least now we can raise awareness, which he says was his original intent. I mean, he did an awful job if that's what he was trying to do.
Real quick, and then we won't talk about him.
Yeah.
When you're a vlogger, you're always looking for the next big thing to get more views, and like you get like sucked into that cycle.
Uh-huh.
And
especially when you're doing it every day.
Every single day, bro. And the way that he approached it was that it was haunted and let's mm-hmm. avoid the ghosts and all that. So I wonder if that's like an aspect where there's probably folklore around some of it too.
There is.
But the way that he approached it was like absolutely like, let's get clicks.
Yeah. And then after the fact, he's like, oh, I was trying to raise awareness. Well, no. We'll do that for you.
Yeah.
Buddy, let's got you covered.
Let's do it correctly.
So,
or as best we can.
As best as we can. It's called the Aokigahara Forest, also known as Jukai, or the Sea of Trees. And I'll probably refer to it as Jukai, because that's less of a mouthful than Aokigahara Forest.
Come on, you do, what, 3 years Japanese?
Yeah. If I was better at Japanese, I would have done my R better, but my mouth doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Got a thick tongue. Not as thick as Josh Clark, but that just sounded dirty if you don't listen to stuff you should know. He always talks about, never mind, just go listen to stuff you should know. Anyway, so Jukai, it's a creepy place, and it's always been creepy. Like, I'll save it, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's located just northwest of Mount Fuji. It's like supposedly in the shadow of Mount Fuji, if the sun's coming from the right direction. It's Mount Fuji's like smack dab in the middle of the main island and west of Tokyo. It's the second most popular place in the world for suicide. Do you know what the top billing is for suicide?
Oh, can you, if you give me the country, I might be able to tell you.
USA.
Oh, like a bridge somewhere, Golden Gate Bridge, maybe?
That's it.
Yeah.
Golden Gate Bridge is the most popular spot for suicide. Jukai has built up this reputation for many reasons. There's supposed hauntings, like we talked about before. There's all of this folklore with ghosts there. The overall feel of the place is really weird. Like, pictures online are kind of serene, but they're also really weird just because of the shape of the trees. Like, they're twisting up into the sky, and then they're, like, twisting on the ground. There's just, like, tendrils of trees just everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
I think it's pretty.
It is kind of pretty, but it's also, it's, something's unsettling. Like, even the bark on the trees is like, I don't know. Just go look at like videos of people walking through it or pictures, and there's something off about it. There's a lot of trees that just like look like tendrils curling out of the earth. Like, they're just like circles of trees. I don't know how that works. But the forest is also, like, the trees are so thick and the foliage is just so thick that it's really easy to get lost. Some people will bring like a ribbon or a tape or something with them and like leave a trail of breadcrumbs behind them so they don't get lost in the forest.
Yeah.
If you do get lost, you're pretty much out of luck. Apparently there's a ton of magnetic iron in the dirt that causes GPS and cell phones not to work. So if you don't go in there with tape or any way reliable getting out, like magnetic north is going to be all screwed up and your cell phone's not going to have any reception. So you're going to be kind of screwed out there. And then Mount Fuji had also erupted in the early first century, so there's also like a bunch of solidified lava around the area, which adds to this creepy aesthetic. And it's also made the ground really porous, so it's like eerily quiet. Like, all of the noise is absorbed by the ground.
That's cool.
It's cool, but it's also really creepy. Like, if you go out into a forest, you hear wind and you hear birds and you hear animals, and there are birds and animals in the forest. There's not very many, but they are there. But the acoustics is just like complete silence.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So it has this reputation. And it started to get, I mean, it's had this reputation in Japan for a really long time, and it really started to get international attention in the 60s. There was someone that wrote a book about two lovers that ran away to the forest to commit suicide together. And this had been going on for a long time in Japan. I didn't get like a start date just because that's all folklore is. There's no start date to myths and legends and stuff. But when that book was released, then everyone had access to this folklore and started to learn about it. But to change gears a little bit, I think it's important to speak broad statistics when it comes to suicide. I think everyone will always talk about these, but it's still important. According to the World Health Organization, 800,000 people kill themselves each year. It's the 10th highest cause of death in the United States and 15th worldwide. And like I said before, it's between 15 and 29 year olds. It's the second leading cause of death globally, which that's the saddest statistic for me, because when you're 15, you're on high school, life does suck.
Yeah.
And your mind is going through all kinds of changes. Like, it's not just teen angst, there's actual physiological changes going on, and you can't express them really well, so it's hard to get a foothold in the world, and you want a way out.
Yeah, if you think about how a lot of antidepressants work, it just regulates your brain chemistry, and you're developing all that chemistry when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, there's plenty of times I'd be, like, bummed out over a girl.
Right.
Or whatever.
You didn't get the part in the play.
Mostly just girls.
But the thing I always say, and I go get help, just go get help. Don't be afraid to go get help. Ask someone. I did it and it was the hardest thing I did, and it's easier said than done.
It evolves too. Like I know, I'd be upset and I would just like talk to a friend on AIM, you know, they get your name in your profile and you're like, okay, maybe I feel a little better.
A little bit.
But now, even today, like if you don't get professional help, talk to a friend. You know?
That's the start.
Someone, anyone.
Yeah, literally anyone. And if someone comes to you and they're like, okay, I need to talk to someone, don't shrug them off. Just, this is one thing that you never know. You never know what's going through someone's head. So why would you ever just be like, oh, they'll be fine, I'm just going to go play hockey with my friends instead of talk to this person?
Yeah.
That was a weird example. I've been listening to a lot of Ben Folds.
Oh, okay.
And there's a line in a song. I listen to that song a lot today. It's about
hockey with friends.
No, it's I hate to go on a tangent like this, but there's a song about Sarah Palin's ex son-in-law, the one that knocked up his daughter when she was in the VP race.
Knocked up his daughter?
Yeah. Levi Johnston, his name, knocked up Bristol Palin.
Okay.
And the song is written about, from Levi Johnston's view, based on a MySpace status he posted where he said, I'm a flipping redneck. I live to hang out with the boys, play some hockey, do some fishing, and kill some moose.
Okay.
So like right now in my mind, what you do with friends is you play hockey. Anyway. In the United States as well, it seems like suicide rates are higher the older you get. And I think that that comes a lot with you start getting other diseases, a lot of degeneration, and you're just sick of dealing with it, or you're in too much pain and you want to get out of it again.
Or politics.
Politics.
We can't afford your own healthcare.
That's also true. It's a rip-rolling adventure, isn't it? White people are also more likely to commit suicide, followed by American Indian. I was kind of surprised to see white at the top.
Yeah.
But American Indian, that's really sad, because, like, we treated them like dirt for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Let's just keep digging ourselves deeper into this pit of sorrow.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get through this.
Okay.
We're going to get through this together, and then after our break that we always take, we're just going to, like, hang out as friends and just, like, talk.
Okay, deal.
And just, like, do a Joker one.
Or two, even.
Or two, even. But the other reason, I guess, Jukai has such a reputation is partly because of the suicide rates in Japan are already traditionally high. It sits at the 26th highest suicide rate country in the world. That's out of, like, 700 countries from WHO, World Health Organization. About 15 people for every 100,000 people commit suicide. So they've tried to figure out why the suicide rates are so high. Some of it, there's been a lot of economic crises. There was one in the 90s. There's one in 2008. There was a spike both times. And it could also be to the high academic stress during these non-peak horrible times. There is a lot of stress and expectations set forth by the culture when it comes to education and your career path. Like in Japan, you struggle through high school and you cram as much as you can into high school. And once you get to university, it's pretty much a free ride from there. That's just how their culture works. You work really hard to get into a good university, and then the university is used as a resume.
Yeah, I went to this school.
Yeah.
Reputation.
Yeah, and you don't have to actually do a lot of work in college.
Yeah, it's similar here sometimes.
Yeah, and worldwide, 15 to 29, second leading cause of death. This is the prime time when they are cramming for university. This is the time where the most stress is put on them, and even further, when you get into your career, there's a lot of expectations with promotions or performance and all this stuff that weigh too heavily on the people there. It's really sad. And Japan has been battling it, and it started to come down, but still very high. Just a little tidbit here I threw in. My Japanese teacher also told us that a lot of Japanese people take off their shoes and like set them off to the side all neatly before they commit suicide. And the reason he brought this one up is because it was in our language textbook.
Wow.
What a place for it.
Wow. That just shows how ingrained it is. That
it's
like
part of their culture.
If you're going to learn our language and our culture, you have to know about this part.
Yeah. And I guess while we're talking about culture, this is a good time to bring it up. There's, in my readings and in some of the articles, they explicitly say there's less of a stigma in Japan about suicide than there is in the United States. The biggest thing is, in the United States, most of us, the majority of us, are Christian or were raised in some sort of Christian household, and committing suicide sends you straight to hell.
Yeah.
So there's this huge stigma in the United States about suicide, whereas in Japan, they've had like historical stories of like seppuku, is the honorable samurai samurai suicide, where they stab themselves in the stomach and mm-hmm. pull it to the side. And there's more of a stigma against seeking mental health in Japan. I don't know if it's more than in the United States. I feel like there is here as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't know. I feel like for a younger audience, there's more of a stigma in the United States, but the older you get, it's like, yeah, I'll just go to a therapist. Maybe I'm wrong. But there's more of a stigma in in Japan about seeking mental health care. So they're just not going to do it. And then you're in sorrow. You're stuck in this loop of sadness. So, yep. So getting back to the Sea of Trees, like I said before, the popularity really spiked in the 1960s. On average, how many people would you think go there and commit suicide per year?
In the 60s?
No, just like annually.
That's tough to say. I don't even know if I could guess.
Well, about 100 people go there each year, which might not sound like a lot. From my reading as well, most people in Japan will commit suicide at home. And this doesn't even count for a percentage. I think it's 1,000th of a percentage of all the suicides in Japan just because it is so high. But again, that's the second most popular place to commit suicide. 100 people die there each year. And that doesn't include attempted suicide, because there are survivors. There are people that have gone there and either like someone found their body or they woke up and escaped the forest alive still. The most common method in the forest is hanging. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trees. Beyond that, the next most common method seems to be poisoning. A lot of times the bodies go without being discovered, so a lot of bodies are missed. We don't know how they died. It's a national park, so there are employees that work there, and they're the ones that have to, every year since the 70s, they go out on an annual search to find as many bodies as they can, and they have to take them out, and they take them to a local police station, and there's this section of the police station specifically designated for people that commit suicide in the forest.
Wow.
Really sad. I need to take a breather here. Hang on.
Yeah, no, I'll talk for a sec. Because I know that I'm trying to equate it to something here. Like if you've got a national park locally, wherever you are listening to this, uh-huh. and think about the trails, and there's like those little signs that say, this is trails over here, this trail's over there. Now imagine just like there's people that wander off of them and do this. And I know that now they added like signs to encourage people not to.
I was going
to
say, well, yeah. They've had those for a long time. Imagine those signs that tell you which trails what, or who donated this gazebo. Instead of saying this person donated a gazebo, they said, think of your kids and family.
Yeah.
Turn back. If you're thinking of committing suicide, please speak to the police first.
Yeah.
That's what the signs say there, which adds to the eeriness. I've got some exact
especially if you're here. Just a little kid going on a field trip, like yeah. trying to enjoy yourself.
There's some signs that say mm-hmm. your life is a precious gift from your parents. Please consult the police before you decide to die, and then think of your children and family. So the park has also become a big site of grave robbing, which just add insult to injury. They've talked to some of the survivors, and this was like the darkest part of my research for me. There was an article on CNN where they talked to like a couple psychiatrists, and first of all, this is heavily ingrained in our culture. We've talked about it already. It's in movies, it's in video games, it's in books. So a lot of people might travel there to be a part of this cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's a vicious cycle right there, because then people go there, they commit suicide, the folklore grows.
Or if you don't talk about it, it becomes taboo.
Right. And we all know what happens when things become taboo. Teen pregnancy goes up.
Yeah. So that was a good spot. Yeah.
We'll save that for now. Ooh, we'll save that for some. If there's a spike in suicides just all over the country, all over the world, like during the economic downturn, there's going to be a lot of media coverage of places like this where a lot of people are going. So then they might join in committing suicide there. You can also think about the social implications. Some of these people just want to belong to something. And this was some of the more troubling stuff that I came across. They want to travel to a place where so many people have committed suicide so they can be with them when they commit suicide. Another person in the CNN article talks about how suicide forums have now become a thing in Japan. So people go on these forums and talk about wanting to commit suicide with each other. And part of that is they want to feel a social connection with other people, and they want to belong to a group.
Yeah. You'd think that those groups would probably be beneficial, though.
You know, hopefully.
You'd be with so many people, you could start making connections, you realize, hey, now I've got a friend.
Yeah, I would hope so. Mm-hmm. There was one quote, by traveling to the forest to commit suicide, you'll never be alone. And one survivor survivor said that his will to live disappeared, so he just wanted to go to the forest and disappear too. As far as psychology goes, it's really quiet, so if you're gonna choose a place to commit suicide, why not be in somewhere that's completely quiet and serene, and you have this whole place to yourself, it feels like. And it's also so thick, a lot of people will go there because they don't want to be spotted. They don't want anyone to be like, hey, that guy's going into the forest. He's probably going to commit suicide. Let's go stop him. They don't want that. They just want to go in peace and be with themselves.
Yeah.
And today, they're trying to curb that trend, as they should. If they didn't, that'd be really weird. There's always been those signs out front trying to discourage people from going in. But they've also started putting up cameras in front. They're using those to track people that go in and ensure that they leave. They've also started to train their workers to speak to any guests that they come across, and if they look like they might be suicidal, they try to talk them out of it. The only downfall of that is, again, it's so thick, the chances of coming across someone randomly is pretty low, according to these workers. So that's all I got on the forest. If you're ever afraid someone might be suicidal, I would just go with your instincts. There's this stupid thing that human brains do called the bystander effect, where we see some sort of emergency or cause for trouble, and we're like, oh, someone else.
Yeah, someone. Yeah, that's a big enough deal and a big enough red flag that I'm sure someone will get it.
Yeah, I think the reason it's called the bystander effect is because the example that's always given is someone's house is on fire, all the neighbors come out and look around, and they're like, oh, someone's already called the fire department, right? I'm just going to stand here and watch the fire. Someone's already taken care of it. Don't ever assume someone else has or is going to take care of something.
Can I give my two little quick stories about it? They're a little lighter, and I figure we're probably wrapping this up.
Yeah.
So one is my bystander effect, that I do the opposite. So I was driving around with a friend. We hear that our friend got robbed the other day. Someone stole packages off their porch.
Yeah.
Threw them off the porch and then rang their doorbell, which is a video doorbell, right?
Yeah.
And said, hey, do you need me to shovel your driveway? I work down the street at the Burger King, and I'm just trying to try to make some money. They're like, no thanks. And then they watched the footage, and he didn't realize that it films all the time.
Yeah.
So they saw him take the packages, caught him within an hour because the cops have the app. So my friend and I were in that mindset, and we saw a van stop in the middle of the street in front of us. Two people ran from porches into the car, and then the car drove off, and every house they would stop and they would go to the porch and then run back to the car. So we're
let me guess.
Yeah.
These are people trying to make deliveries for the USPS.
I didn't know that yet. So I called the cops.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a bystander.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, I'm here. This is what I'm seeing. And we just trailed them. We just followed them around, and we stopped. And this poor man, it was 4 degrees out, gets out of his car. He shuffles over to us with his little newspaper to show us that he's just trying to help the community.
Yeah.
And it's the same time that I'm on the phone with the cops. Like, are you sure it's not just the mail?
Yeah.
And I was like, it is. I'm sorry. Thank you. Bye. And I waved to the guy and we drove off. He had to shuffle back to his car. Yeah.
That poor guy.
And my other example of the bystander effect is it doesn't always have to be an emergency. Everyone says, my vote doesn't matter.
Right.
But now a million people say, my vote doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So the moral is go out and vote, right?
Go out and vote, everybody. And care about people that need help.
Yeah. Seriously, and if you think that you're not qualified, you know someone in their life that is, you're not going to be a snitch if you're like, hey, you should go talk to blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Seems like your son or daughter is down, you should give them a call, you know?
And the other thing, too, is knowing the signs of depression is really tough just because there's a weird stigma about it in our culture, even though everyone goes through it at some point. Not everyone, but a broad majority of our population goes through some sort of depression, but no one wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So try to be more aware of the signs of depression or suicidal thoughts, and look out for the community. Look out for your friends and loved ones.
Yeah. And the way that I've kind of dealt with it personally, and I think I mentioned it before, is to try to treat yourself like you're helping a friend out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we're going to get up and make our bed.
Yeah.
You know? Simple as that.
Yeah.
Or just have Nick as your friend because he's the best. He'll save you with anything. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make this about me for a second. I'm kind of glad that I went through this whole depressive episode, and I've taken medication for it so that when my daughter grows up, if she ever goes through it, I know exactly what to look out for, because my parents didn't know that I was having all these issues. Because there's very specific things you got to look out for.
Yeah.
And I'm not qualified to talk about what those are, but maybe in a future episode I will be.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. Should we take a break and just
chill? Yeah.
All right, let's do that. John.
Nick.
I feel a little weird trying to, like, even the thought of plugging our own stuff during this episode, so I'm just not going to do it.
No, yeah. If you found us, good job.
You did your work.
Yep.
Now listen next week and we'll tell you where to find us.
Yep.
How you been, man?
Pretty good. I've been playing a lot of Zelda.
Yeah, that's good.
It's very good. Can I just get on topic real quick?
Yeah.
Because I know we're trying to, like, be chill.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, because you said video games were inspired by the forest.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if The Lost Woods in Zelda was inspired by the Suicide Forest.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
So I know that they brought it back in this
new game.
It's like
in every game. Yeah. It's in a lot of the games anyway. I was going to go on our Facebook and just see if anyone said anything nice about us.
I know Jason talked about some cool stuff.
Yeah. Jason, this is one thing I was thinking about, because I had brought up the fact that a lot of people say, oh, I don't feel like listening to that subject and you want to know what some of those were. I think the one I brought up in that episode was why we can't cure the cold. That was like last year we did that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out which other ones are. there was one about like plants, breeds of plants, a bunch of interesting stuff in there.
Oh yeah, why'd we only eat the same like,
like
50 plants instead of like thousands that existed?
Yeah.
Yeah, we like picked our favorite ones.
Yeah. We had one about igloos I didn't like. trying to think of what else. Man, there's so many good ones.
Yeah. What were you saying? Like, someone's asking our favorite episodes, or?
No, he was just wondering, because I had said that some people will skip over episodes because they don't think it'll be interesting. I promise you it's interesting.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, the plant one was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, vitamin supplements. I really like talking about that one with my wife.
I wish I was there, because I'd take those, because I'm vegan.
Yeah, because you're weird. Solitary confinement. Man, I forgot that we even did that episode.
That was recent.
Huh? Not really, that was August.
Oh, never mind.
I forgot about that. Essential oils, I love that one because people love talking to me about essential oils. I'm like, did you listen to my podcast? And you're just trying to get me really upset right now. salt lamps was a good one. When will tigers exact their revenge and take over the world? That was a good one. That was recent.
Yeah, that one had the cute story with the elephants that they remembered their scars from like 20 years earlier because they were together for a week.
Yeah, that's bonkers. So, man, I don't even know what to talk about. I've been exploring a lot of games lately, trying to win my daughter over more than anything. So I've been playing the dumb Sumsum game on my phone because it's got all the Disney characters that she likes.
Yeah.
And it becomes her trying to play and then taking my phone from me and then just kind of staring at it. So it uses up all my hearts because it's one of those games where your stuff recharges.
And you have to ask for help from a friend on social media. Yeah.
But none of my friends are playing, so I can't ask for help.
You gotta make her a Facebook account just to do that.
So then I was playing Castle of Illusion, and I was having way more fun with that than she was. Having a kid's weird, man. There's some things like you're like, she's gonna love this. And then, like, we went ice skating. We got her these skates. They're these teeny tiny skates. And we get out to the ice rink. We tried one at an ice rink, and we tried one at an outdoor rink at a school, and she put her feet on the ice with the skates on and immediately started crying and just like fell to the ice and just like wouldn't get up. And so we picked her up and like she'd just pull up her legs and like try to get away from the ice as much as she could. I'm like, come on, it's great. You love it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But she'll get it and she'll love it.
Eventually.
The only stories I have are about my son.
Yeah.
Wally Winkle.
Wally Winkle, the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His Chihuahua Corgi.
Yeah. What about him?
I tried to wash his feet yesterday because he was dirty and I wanted him to come hang out with me. And
yeah.
He was like, perfect impression, I know. I'm around him a lot.
Yeah.
But I never took him ice skating, although I think he might like it. Yeah. But the bummer is that it costs twice as much to take a dog ice skating as it does for a kid.
Because they have twice as many legs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. They got outdoor ones that are free, so do that.
We'd probably do that. Actually, I did take one of my dogs legitimately on ice once.
Yeah.
And I brought a sled and a rope. And
pull him around?
Yeah. Them pull me around on the ice and they were just like kind of slipping around on it. There's my dog Lola that I was fostering.
So here's the thing about the ice though, is that Rory loves the idea of it. We'll put her on there with her shoes and she'll run around on it and thinks it's the most hilarious thing. And I'll hold her while I'm skating and zip around and she'll think that's the most hilarious thing. But then I'm like, do you want to skate by yourself? She'll be like, yeah. And then I'll put her down, she'll start screaming again.
Yeah.
Potty training is fun too, by the way.
Yeah, she started getting better at that now. No? No. You're just shaking your head.
She tricked me into taking her underwear off, and I thought I was going to be fine. And she pooped in the middle of the bathroom floor right next to the little tiny elbow toilet that she has, and peed right next to the shower, like 2 feet away from the toilet.
Oh, no.
And then there's a little nugget, and she carried it into our carpet and stepped it into our carpet.
Oh, no. Please edit that out. That's terrible. No. I don't want to relive this moment.
I need to. I need misery loves company.
Yeah, and now she's going to grow up and listen to this.
That's fine. She needs to be embarrassed about it. I didn't stick her nose in it like you would a dog, so...
I don't do that to my dogs.
Well...
But Wally does do that. He does poop on the floor.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tries to write my name. It's really sweet.
Aw.
Like, he'll poop a J, but then the next letter... Like, you can't do an O. It's hard, you know?
I could.
Yeah, I know you could. You're talented.
That's gross. What are you doing?
It's less gross than humans for some reason.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's because we're so used to just going in toilets.
I guess so, yeah. But that's, I think it would be even grosser if my dogs pooped on the toilet.
Yeah?
I don't know why. Because
you should teach them to do that.
You can do that with cats.
I know.
But then I'd be like knocking on the door like, I really have to go.
Rory learned how to meow.
Oh, cool.
That's the end of that story.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.